Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I prayed early this morning here in the front of the sanctuary, praying that all who walk into this place would be renewed in their hope and in the understanding that God is on the throne. And it doesn't depend on our circumstances. God is dependable, and we praise his name. I hope that many of you will contribute to our young people and enjoy the food this afternoon as we help them make their way to service for the Lord overseas in another place, pushing forward the gospel. I like what Pastor Dan said. That's pretty good, Pastor Dan. Don't you love Pastor Dan? Don't you love Pastor Dan and our daycare ministry and what he does and his team? They're awesome. Don is got his back right back there and supporting, and we have a great team. We often forget, I'm glad I reminded myself of this, those of us who come and go on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, we walk in the door on Sunday, we enjoy worship, we enjoy our facility, we enjoy one another, we come in and we leave, and we come back again the next Sunday and we keep it up. We need to remind ourselves, and that's part of my job to help us do that, is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, our building is occupied from what time? 6:15, and I know some people get here way earlier than that to get ready, all the way to 6:30 in the evening, and they're serving how many families? 65 families represented in our weekday ministry here, and telling the good story of Jesus. Sorry, this is quiz time, but I'm on this track. So how many families, Pastor Dan, would you say don't attend church anywhere? About 31. So we'll say approximately half who are hearing the good news of Jesus through their little children who come and pick up stuff and little papers they take home. And I think if we can pray about anything, we ought to just pray that every time a daycare paper goes home and sits on the countertop and a mom or a dad or an uncle or a brother or sister who doesn't know Jesus sees that it will strike a nerve in their heart that they'll want to know more about Jesus. Our daycare is our most outward-facing ministry and impacting our community, and that was all unscripted, but I appreciate Pastor Dan and all that he does, and he also is pushing forward the gospel with his great team through the week. I don't know, I'm just on a roll this morning. I've often thought, Pastor Dan, if there were those in this congregation who would feel the burden to walk through after checking with all the security protocol that is necessary to protect our children to come and pray over our classrooms, just walk through. Wouldn't that be great if there were people who would just walk through the halls and just pray for our teachers and pray for the kids and ask God's Holy Spirit to intervene? I think that's all that is for free. Maybe the Lord would be leading some of you to do that who have some time on your hand. I don't think Pastor Dan or Don would be opposed to that if you got to them first and worked out a way to do that. So a couple of things before Second Corinthians chapter 9. You can pull your Bibles out or your electronic or otherwise, so we can get into the Word a little bit this morning. First of all, I want to remind you that Thanksgiving is around the corner, and one of the things that we do here at Grace Point is many of you give through what's called Faith Promise. Faith Promise is a giving means where all of our giving for Faith Promise goes to missions, and all of it goes to missions. So we give our tithes and our offerings, and then many of you give to Faith Promise, and you do that all year long because it helps you give a little bit more money than if you were just to give a one-time gift. But we're also going to do that on Thanksgiving Sunday. We're going to receive our thanks Thanksgiving offering for world evangelism, some of you, that's your time to give. And so if you can prepare for that next Sunday, separate from your tithes and offerings, let's do our best. I believe that a church who gives and invests in missions is a church that God's going to bless. Because as the song said, if we have been blessed, then we should turn that around and be a blessing. Two of you agree with me. So let's do what we can. And one final thing before we get into the word, just because I know it's on people's minds. Since the tragic killing in Texas in the church shooting last Sunday, there have been many people who have questioned me on our own church security. And it is on our radar. In fact, I've had conversations just this week with some individuals regarding organizing ourselves to ensure that especially our young people and children are secure while we're in the building. We are working on that. I want you to rest assured. And because we want to be sure. In this day and time, we could say to some of you who may be naysayers, I don't think there are any more naysayers that churches are targets. I hope not. But to all of us, I would say we need to have a commitment to the security of our church, our people, and especially our young people and children. And so we're going to do our part. We're not. You'll probably never know. Most of you will probably never know what's going on. But I can assure you that we're going to set stuff up so that there is an underpinning of security here at Grace Point. So we are going to be diligent about that in the days ahead. So I just thought that was an FYI. So let's get into the Word. And spend a few moments there. I invite you to stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Together, I'm going to finish a series that I've been working on, a four-part series that I've been working on for about 8 weeks. And there have been things come on, speakers and vacation and this and that. But I'm going to finish it up this morning by speaking directly about giving to the Lord and giving that honors God. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I want to begin by reading our foundation out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm not going to read all 15 verses. I will allude to them in my message, so I won't do it right now, but I do want to begin with verse 1. Paul is speaking, and he says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. And I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many from the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take to heart the words of Scripture regarding giving that honors you. We want your heart in our giving. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me this morning as we tackle this important discussion. No one likes to really talk about giving pastors, certainly. But I know, Lord, that this is in your word. And so I pray that you would open our hearts. And I pray that the reality of these first couple of verses will ring true to all of us, that we will become so enthusiastic about our giving to the kingdom of God that nothing will stop us and nothing will stop you. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The Bible has a lot to say about generosity. I want to talk about generosity as a whole this morning. We could stop the show like I did a moment ago with Pastor Dan. And we could spend the rest of our time together talking about ways that we have experienced the generosity of the Lord and the generosity of others. In fact, if you live in the United States of America, we realize that we are blessed just to be sitting in this beautiful building, enjoying the company of others, of God's people. Amen? And other free countries like ours also enjoy that same blessing. And the reason generosity should be a part of our conversation is because we have experienced, all of us in this room, every man, woman, boy, and girl has experienced the generosity of God, who loved us so much that he sent his very best into this world so that we could enjoy the very best of God in heaven. So Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church, and he's kind of excited because he's getting ready to go to this church and receive an offering that has been collected for believers who are in need. And so he's been preparing. He's written emails back and forth, you know. He's prepared the people that he's coming to receive for himself this offering that they have prepared and they have worked on to be delivered to Paul, who would then take it and deliver to those who are in need. So that's a little bit of the context. So he is preparing to take their enthusiastic gift and do something with them. So he's stirring them up. I wonder this morning how enthusiastic you are about giving. And so I want to couch my words this morning with about five or six words that will help us see giving through the eyes of God from this passage. We'll deal with it expositionally a little bit this morning. And as we go through them, I just want to ask you to ask yourself the question, am I operating under that word? Do I feel that way? Is this the way I feel about my giving? Do I have the traits? You know, generosity is a trait of the Christian person. It should be part of the DNA. While I'm going to be talking about money this morning in that sense, the reality of generosity goes beyond money. We're to have, you know, spirit-filled people should have a spirit of generosity on their whole life. You know, we should be generous with our words. Basically that means mostly generously quiet. You know, for the most part, it's sometimes better to be quiet than noisy. We're to be generous with our attitudes toward one another. We're to be generous in our assumptions. I have this belief, this conviction that as spirit-filled people, while we have to be careful, that we all should give one another the benefit of the doubt. I just think that's a good spirit-filled position. So, anyways, let's get right into it. Number one. For you type A note takers, here we go. Number one, giving that honors God is planned. It's planned. I want you to note the words here in the passage of Scripture that he is, in verse 3, he says, I'm sending these brothers to be sure that you are really ready. Up in verse 2, Paul says, I know how eager you are to help, and I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. So giving that honors God is planned. When was the last time you had a prayer meeting with yourself and just asked the Lord to convict you and lead you and guide you in what you should give to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ? Now, Jamie and I, we do that on a regular occasion. We have our family, well, now it's a couple. Our family has grown now, but I guess we're still a family, right? We have our family budget meeting, and Jamie is chairman of the board. Actually, we do that together. And one of the things about our budget meeting is that we recognize that really God's the chairman of the board. So we evaluate our finances and we talk to one another and we pray about it. We ask, okay, what are we going to give? So here we're getting ready to get into a new year, 2018. We're going to have the granddaddy of all budget meetings at the Kellerman household. We're going to look at our finances. We're going to look at our church here and we're going to ask the question, what has God blessed us with? We have been blessed, so we should be a blessing to others. What will we give to the kingdom of God? So we'll manage it through our budgets. But oftentimes, listen, this is true. Oftentimes, many of us don't think about giving until we see the offering plate. And then we go, oh. It's like we forget that it's going to happen in church. And so we start, you know, we look, okay, what can I do? And there's nothing in there but fuzz. And so that's not really planned giving. Giving is an act of obedience and trust and generosity. Giving to God's kingdom should be so important that we include it in our family budget meetings where we talk about what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it, which may be part of the problem. I read the statistic. It's a couple of years old, but it would still apply. It's close in numbers that across denominations, the average giving per person is 2%. Can you imagine what the kingdom of God would look like if all of us were able to give and all of us did give a minimum of 10% of our income back to the kingdom of God? And probably part of the reason is that many of us are so deep in debt that even if we did have a budget meeting in our family to tithe or give, we couldn't if we wanted to because we're so in debt otherwise. And so if you're in a position where you are trying to figure out how you can be generous, how you can plan to give when you don't have much to give, there is always a place to begin. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but I just want to give a shout out to an event that's taking place here in beginning January 10th. Alan and Dunya Mosso are going to be facilitating Financial Peace University beginning January 10th. And there's information in posters. There's information in the worship folder about signing up. Many of you in this crowd could be broken because you're up to your eyeballs in debt and you're wondering how you'll ever break through. And listen, there are a host of people who understand what that feels like. And there's also a host of people who have experienced God helping them out of their situation as they honor God with their giving. And so I just want to say to those of you who are struggling financially, or even if you're not struggling, it is a great 8 or 9 weeks to be together to learn biblical ways of giving. But I want to say something. This came to me this morning since I'm freestyling a lot this morning. Pastor Dan, I'm just going to throw this in. It costs $100 to participate in Financial Peace University. This is not money that we collect. Financial Peace University collects it in order to leave you with really more than $100 worth of information, books and CDs, and it's a whole bunch of stuff there. And some say, well, Pastor, if I had $100, I wouldn't need the class. The reality is, we do with our money what we want, number one, and number two, we feel like it's important for all of us to have a little skin in the game, but this is what I was thinking about, Pastor Dan. I'll just preach to you today, Pastor Dan. I just felt the Lord say, throw it out there. So I'm going to throw it out there right now. This is not in my notes, so this is for free. I'm going to throw it out there. There are people in this crowd today who are financially secure, who I know you would love to help somebody who is so covered up in debt that they can't see the light of day. And I'm not wanting to pay everyone's 100%, but if you had $50 to throw in so that someone would have to pay $50 to get in, cut that thing in half. I'm needing a bunch of people who would just throw $50. If you came up and threw $50 on the altar, that'd be okay. I guess that's never happened to me before, but that'd be kind of fun. I would love it if a handful of you would say, Pastor, I want to invest in someone's freedom financially. I want to do that. The church wants to help you in that way. And so if you would be willing to do that, come see me after service today, or come up and lay $50 on the altar and sanctify it. I'm really serious about this. I feel like the Lord wanted me to throw that out there. So anyways, the Lord let you do with that what you want. Well, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the wisdom writer says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns and your grain with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. A farmer couldn't do that unless he planned for that. But this is not about full barns and overflowing wine vats. I don't even know what to do with wine vats. I'm a Nazarene, for crying out loud. But the reality is that God wants us to plan, and if we'll plan to give, he will step in. And I'm not saying he'll give you houses and cars and lands, but there are literally, anyone who is a regular tither in this house will tell you that sometimes it's really hard, but God has never let us down. Amen? That's the way God works. But you got a plan. Number two, we have to be willing. Giving that honors God is a willing gift. So verse 5 says, Paul is saying, so I thought I would send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promise is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. So I have a question for you this morning on giving. When you give to the Lord, do you give like you're paying your taxes? Or like you're giving a gift to a family member at Christmas time? Now I got to thinking. There might be some folks here today who are a little scroogey. And you feel bad about giving gifts to family at Christmas. I thought about you this morning. And I just thought I'd pray for you. I can't do anything with you. I'm just going to pray for you this morning. See, when we give willingly to the Lord, our giving will increase because we do what we enjoy doing. And this may be the most spiritual point of this whole message, and that is that the Son of the Living God willingly left the glories of heaven to enter into this world, to hang on the cross, to bear your sins and my sins, not under compulsion, but willingly left the royalty and the glories of heaven to die on the cross with your sins in mind, so that we could have our relationship with God come together in this life, and we can spend eternity in heaven forever and ever. We have a willing Savior, church. When we give willingly to the Lord, there is joy that comes into our life. Not only that, a giving that honors God is generous. Look at verse 6. Paul says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So generosity looks different to different people, right? So for some, generosity is 10% of your income. For others, 20% is not being generous at all. So it's contextual. It's what you've been blessed with. And God calls us to give not from what we don't have, but from what we have, right? There's generosity all around us. I love this time of year. We have the Salvation Army guys and gals who are ringing the bells, the Salvation Army. And we're going to start hearing about the Secret Santa, the Salvation Army Secret Santa, who drops like wads of $100 bills in those kettles. I'm getting ready to put me a kettle out of the front door. You just never know, right? You just never know. I love to hear the story and hear the stories about that generosity. Someone out there, one of the stories that I heard, and you may have heard it in this mass shooting in Texas, this is both terrible and beautiful, but some donor out there donated all of the caskets for the deceased to be buried in. Terrible and beautiful. This church has generous people in it. If you are facing tough financial times this morning, I want you to listen to me for a moment. If you only have two pennies to rub together, and you're feeling a little bad about this sermon, and you're wondering, well, I could have stayed home and watched the same thing on TV. By the way, we're better than TV. Well, anyways. Some TV. You don't have two, you just have two pennies to rub together, then here's my advice. I'm going to give you some advice this morning to get you in the flow of giving. First of all, Giving is not a matter of the amount of money you have in your pocket. Giving is a matter of the heart. Can we just start there? It's a matter of the heart. That's where it starts right here. Okay, so now we're to the two pennies that you have. Here's my advice. This is the step of faith I want to challenge you with. I want you to take one of the pennies and give it to the Lord. And then I want you to figure out a way that you can be generous. Give someone a hug. Now, if all of you come to me and give me hugs after church, I'm going to be really afraid, right? But I'm talking about generosity. I want you to give someone a hug. I want you to call a friend and encourage them. I want you to give someone a ride. Cook someone some brownies. Buy someone a blizzard. I just made that up, but that's good. See, I think the enemy will trap us into thinking, well, I don't have 10%, so I'm not going to give anything to the Lord. And the economy of Scripture is give, and it will what? Those of you who know, it will be given to you. It doesn't say how. Could be good health. Could be kids. Could be married. Let's not look at what the blessing is, but the word promises that if we give, it will be, he will give to us. I want you to be generous in just the way you're able to, and then just watch the Lord work and take note, because he's always at work. He is always at work. Number four, giving that honors God is free. Verse 7 says, you must decide in your heart how much to give in your heart. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. God doesn't want us to give because of the expectations of others. I know I'm preaching this message, but he doesn't want you to give just because I'm preaching a message on giving. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you will obey the Holy Spirit as my words have opened up some area of your heart that God wants to you to grow in. God wants us to give in freedom, just be free in our giving. And I think that if all of us could figure out that God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, and we can just do our part. That's kingdom living. Next is cheerful. Paul says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. We talked about this a few weeks back in this passage, and I like the part that I read in verse 2 where Paul says, he's telling people about this church, and he says, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. I am praying that God will raise up a whole battalion of enthusiastic givers who are enthusiastic about being generous to the kingdom of God. Are you enthusiastic? I'm trying to find something you like, really. I'm really working at it. Cheerful. Do you give cheerfully? I think we can be cheerful in our giving if we plan, if we're willing, if we're generous, if we're giving freely. It'll translate into cheer. I'm just waiting for one of these Sunday mornings when we receive our offering after the prayer. I'm waiting for someone in this crowd to start it up so that we can begin applauding when we have an opportunity to give. I said that a couple of weeks ago, and it was just kind of like this. That was weird. I'm just waiting. Maybe it should be me, cheerfully. Let me tie this up this morning before we head off to lunch and give you some results of biblical giving. These are the results of biblical giving that honors God. Number one is this. No. It pleases God. It really pleases God, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. We've already talked about that, so we'll move on. Number two, it invites the blessing of God. If you read verses 8 through 10, you'll read these lines, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. Listen, generosity invites the blessings of God. What I am not saying is that if we give a bunch of money, that God is going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, and pour worldly goods at your feet. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm not saying that at all. You can get that teaching a lot of places, but I do not believe that it is God's intention that we teach and preach a theology of giving with the idea of receiving. I believe the theology of giving is to give God back because he has given to us and let him take care of the results. And he does a great job doing that. What I am saying is that if we honor and obey God in the area of our giving, it invites the blessing of God. It invites God's blessing. What do we do with, talk about being a blessing with what we've been blessed with? What happens? Look at verse 8 and 9. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Number three, another result is that it results in thanksgiving to God. Listen to these words. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. I think God, giving that is godly and honoring to God, when that happens, God will receive all of the glory. Number four, along that line, biblical giving results in glory to God. Verse 13, verse 14. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. One of the things that we try to teach our children as they were growing up in the house is we let them know that we tried to be generous. There are plenty of people more generous than we are, way more than we are. But we practice generosity, and when God blessed us, we let our kids know about it. Because we wanted them to make the connection between our giving and the invitation for God to bless us. Whenever something good happened, we wanted them to know, and we wanted to teach them the value and give God the glory for it. God is so big. He can do whatever he wants with whatever you give him. And that's the truth of God's word. You don't have much to give the Lord this morning. When we begin to start circulating nickels and dimes, you know, and dollar bills and pennies into God's kingdom, he can take that and multiply those things like the fishes and the loaves. It's the way the kingdom, do you believe this, guys? That's the way the kingdom works. It's amazing how it works. That's why I just want some of you to trust the word. Don't trust me, trust the word. And just do a little and watch God work. And the final result here is that it brings acknowledgement of God's gift to us. We, verse 15, thank God for this gift. Two wonderful four words. So I have four or five questions. I'd just like you to bow your heads if you would. Here's just a couple of questions to follow up. Do you plan in your giving? Do you have a plan? Are you giving willingly? Are you giving generously and freely and cheerfully? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? What area of obedience is God calling you to? I'd like you to stand if you would. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the times when it's really comfortable. I thank you for the times that I can just rear back in my seat and say, amen, thank God, praise the Lord. That's just so right and so good. I also thank you, Father, for the times that your word is sort of like a arrow. It pierces through all the stuff and it targets something. And God, you know, in my own life, I have needed that arrow more than once. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you that you have never failed Jamie nor myself. You've always been faithful. When we have messed up, when we have had our priorities where they shouldn't be, you didn't hold us at arm's length. You grabbed us up spiritually, and you forgave us when we confessed, and you helped us along the way. So, Lord, wherever we are today, I pray that we wouldn't live in shame or guilt, but that you look at us with fondness. And I pray for folks here today who are struggling in their finances in the area of giving. Discipline is hard, or money is short, or the struggle is real. There are hospital bills. There's someone who doesn't have a job. There is money that's going to help support a child who's in trouble. Lord, all those things are real. You don't look at us, Lord, shamefully. So, Lord, help us to see that you are a God of love, and you will make a way for us if we just live in obedience to however you speak to us about. So we use your word today as a backdrop, as our foundation, that we might give in a way that honors you. So I pray for the one who's struggling today with those two pennies, whatever that looks like. I pray that you would inspire and encourage them to give up one, give up a little, give it to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would show your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for the givers in this church. I would be remiss, Lord, the faithfulness of many, many, many here in this room and those who have come before us, who have given faithfully and sacrificially to allow us to enjoy what we enjoy today. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise up many more just like them so we can keep your work going and the kingdom advancing. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we go. May we enjoy our lunch here in a few moments, our afternoon, and we will give you the glory and the honor and the praise because you are a good, willing, generous God. And all God's people agreed by saying amen. 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 God bless you. Listen.